Well, the last time I was with you, I was sharing some thoughts about divine increase. And if you didn't hear those or get a chance to, they may be out in the lobby, or you can just listen to them online, download them. You know, as they say, everything's free, so there's no excuse. Just means you're lazy or not hungry, one or the other. But we need to feed on the Word of God. I know Brother Hagin said this years ago when he was alive, he said that the Lord spoke to him and said, the reason why people's faith is not as productive as it should be or is because they get excited the first time they hear the word, but they reject the watering process. What does that mean? You got to keep hearing the word. You got to keep feeding on it. You got to water the seed that's been planted in your heart. And if you don't do that on a regular basis, you know, I always say this, where young people are concerned, somebody's going to plant some seed in their heart. And sometimes it's not the right kind of seed. And so all of us need to be conscious of the seed that we plant in our hearts and that watering process. So for us, God's word is the seed, and it reveals to us, God's word reveals to us what? His will. And in his word is his nature, his will. So it reveals his thoughts. You know, just let's take a moment and look at that scripture in Isaiah 55 and verse 8. I know I didn't give him this to put up, but I'll wait a minute. In Isaiah 55, 8, we were sharing a moment ago, for it says, "For my thoughts are what? Are not your thoughts, and my ways, neither are my ways, are your ways, my ways, saith the Lord." So that means if his thoughts are not my thoughts, then my thoughts ought to be focused towards what? His thoughts, and his thoughts are where? In the Word of God. So we need to make sure, and it goes on, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where unto I sent it." So God is saying that his word will prosper if we do what? Receive it and put it into practice, begin to confess it, speak it. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. Hallelujah. So we need to keep that. Seed, the seed of God's word will produce. So we've been talking about divine increase, but I wanted to focus today in that it's God's will for us to do what? To prosper and be in health. It's God's will for us to prosper and be in health. 3 John, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your" what? "Your soul prospers." I like this. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." So here, we see John is writing to Gaius, and he's sharing something. He's saying, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. So God wants us to be strong in spirit and healthy. That's his will. So we need to keep that in mind when we are faced with things in our body. He didn't promise we'd live forever, but he did say we could live healthy. And so we need to keep that in mind, that we should live out our days here healthy and wealthy. You know, they say healthy, wealthy, and what? And wise. So God has delivered us from the curse. So we see from Galatians 3:13, this is the Passion Translation. So it says, yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from what? The curse of the law. He absorbed it completely. He absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who was hung upon a tree is cursed. So what? He came to completely absorb or take the curse that was charged against us because of man, because of Adam's fall. So we see that in redemption, this is why redemption is a complete redemption. So what does it say in Ephesians 1:7? In whom we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So it's through the shed blood of Jesus that I've been redeemed. The blood is a complete, there isn't one thing that the blood has not redeemed us from. Not one thing. You might say, well, what about this? Not one thing that hasn't redeemed us. We've been redeemed from the curse. And we're not going to take time, but you're going to look at, you could take your time and look at Deuteronomy 28 and go down from verse 15 to the end and read the curses. We've been redeemed from that, but we haven't been redeemed from the blessings. The blessings are still ours. We've been redeemed by his blood from the curses. So when those things come, what ought to be our first response? Our first response ought to be, I'm redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, and I'm redeemed from the curse. So therefore, I command this symptom to leave my body, to leave my finances. You know, where we miss it, I dare say, is that we're not speaking the word to the measure that we should. And, you know, these are just adjustments that we have to make. If we're going to see the benefits of our covenant is sealed in the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. So God is, he's telling us we're going to have to say the covenant. We're going to have to speak the covenant. We're going to have to speak the word of God, and he'll watch over it and bring it to pass. He'll make it come to pass. So I don't care what area of our life or lives, there's something that needs to be changed. You may be in good health, you may have good finances, but maybe there's some areas of your life that need to be adjusted. Maybe your love walk, maybe your peace, maybe your joy. Something needs to be adjusted. 2 Peter talks about it. We need to add to this and add to this and add to this. Let's go over there and look at that for a minute. I'll read it from the King James. I'm going to start in verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Verse 3, "According as his divine power hath what? Given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through what? The knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." This is the word of God. "That by these ye might be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Oh boy. So this is telling us right here, we have these great and precious promises that we can partake of. How do we partake of them? By faith. You receive them by faith. And then you speak them by faith. And you decree them in your life by faith. These are mine. These are my covenant promises. And I decree them in my life. I shall have this. I shall walk in this. And then what else does it say? "And beside this," so if you thought you know, it says, "and beside this, giving what? All diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and what? Abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." So we got some work to do. We got some things that we have to add to, don't we? Through these great and precious promises. But it's his desire. He said he's telling us what to do here. So then it's what? He's putting, what do they say? He's putting a ball in our court. He said, if you want them, that's what he said. If these things be in you and abound, they make you. To what? That you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. None of us want to be unfruitful. And that purpose of being unfruitful, let's look at John 15. Let's look at those first few verses. John 15, verses 1 through 5, talking about being fruitful. It says, "I am what?" So we have to stay connected to the vine if we want to be fruitful and increase in the knowledge of God. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he does what? He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may do what? Bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Hallelujah. "For without me you can do nothing." Well, this is what 2 Peter's saying. We have these great and precious promises. We need to do what? In order to prove, this is what's Romans 12. Let's look at the Romans 12:2. In the Passion Translation, it says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Boy, that's a mouthful right there. Boy, oh boy. And if we spend more time thinking about or listening to the opinions and ideals of the world, then things become bigger and God becomes smaller. So this goes on, it says, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will do what? Empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. We have... You know what's so wonderful? It just gives bubbles up in me. We have the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. So we can go through life. Do you ever think about this? You can go through life and never miss it. That's a novel thought, isn't it? You could go through life and never miss it. That means whatever we're faced with, challenges, obstacles, that means, it doesn't mean everything is going to be just peachy. You got a devil here that's trying to destroy. That's what John 10:10 says. It says, the thief, I like the New Living Translation, it says, the thief's purpose is to do what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The Passion Translation, this even isn't clear. It says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. So if we're not seeing that in our lives, then it's either one of two things. We're saying the wrong things and opening the door to the devil, or there's just stuff going on. Does everybody understand? Because this is saying here, He has come to give us everything in abundance. Everything. Everything. Say everything. Everything in abundance. Everything. Now, maybe we're not living in it to the degree that we want to, but this says here, everything in abundance, more than you expect. Boy, we can expect a lot of big things. But He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Thank God. But He's come to give us more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. So that means we can have it. So what does it take to get it? Faith. It takes faith to receive that. We can live in God's fullness and abundance in our life. Abundance of joy, abundance of peace, overflowing in peace, overflowing in joy, overflowing in prosperity, overflowing in health, overflowing in every area of our life. Faithfulness and goodness and temperance. You know, sometimes we need to overflow in that. In our patience and temperance. So that means a bomb go off underneath you and you're not even bothered by it. Something happens and you go, well, praise God. So here, God is saying that we can have all of this. So there's either one, two things. Either we're saying the wrong things because we don't know his will. We don't know his covenant. And we're saying things that are not accurate, that are not so. Isn't that true? You know, we go through it all the time. You know, you have contracts, right? We have a lot of contracts here where this ministry is concerned. You know, you have insurances, you have contracts, you have things. And a lot of times when something surfaces, you got to go back and do what? Make sure that you read the contract properly. Because otherwise, you may not benefit. You may say, well, no sense calling. I guess, you know, we're not covered for that. Maybe you need to read it to make sure you're covered, that you can benefit from that contract. So a lot of times we have here a covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus and said, we've got these great and precious promises that we need to partake of. God says here, what did Jesus say? He said, I have come to give you everything in abundance. More than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. Not your neighbor, not your mama, not your daddy, not your friends. Say, boy, look at them. No, you. You can overflow in abundance. And this is what God is saying, that this divine increase that he has afforded us, it's through Christ, through the blood of Jesus, through the redemptive package, the redemptive covenant that we have. Hallelujah. I know for years now that's changed in my life, but for a number of years, I would bring my tithe into the storehouse. You've heard me share this. I worked the word in the area of healing. I spoke it every day, not every once in a while, not when it came to my mind. I purposed to walk in divine health. I purposed it. I made a choice and a decision. You know, there's things that you do personally, you know, maybe it's a job, maybe it's a career, an education, something that you go after and you don't let up. You keep pursuing it until what? You don't go, I've been doing this a year and it don't look like I'm getting there. No, what do? You keep going after it. You keep looking. Well, I took that course and I got that experience. Well, that's not enough. You chose. You decided. You didn't wait until somebody came and just handed it to you. You went after it. You said, I'm getting this. You didn't whine. You didn't complain. Everybody's against me. No. In this country, all the education is available to you. You now, there's no excuse. You got, if you never went to college, you got this thing right here. You can go to Google and read it. There's more information available today that you don't have to be stupid and dumb and make dumb mistakes. You don't have to. That's just our natural side. Now we got the Holy Ghost in us to lead us and guide us. and his word. So there's no excuse. You know what it is? It's called lazy. And I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. If anything, I'll beat up on myself, because if we want something bad enough, we will go after it, as they say, tooth and nail. Because here's the point. God said through his son Jesus, I have come to give you everything in abundance. Yes. So if I'm not walking in every area of my life in abundance, guess what? That means I got some work to do. I can't go back and go, oh God, why aren't you doing this for me? He said, get up off your and go and open the book. You do it. There's a Godward side and a manward side. He did everything. He sent his son. He sent his word. He went to the cross. He shed his blood. He defeated the devil. It says he holds the keys of death and hell. His name is above every name. So there's nothing that he can do except what? He's given us everything, then it's your choice. And so we can't complain that I'm not walking in abundance. He's not holding anything back from us. And if the devil's trying to, if we're doing our part, then God said what? As the rain cometh down and the snow and returns not thither, he said, I'll make it come to pass. So what does that mean? If I'm speaking the word, see, I'm trying to get to this. I was bringing my tithe in 20-30%. 30%. Because I wanted to. As a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. I did that not grudgingly. But I was not seeing the harvest that I thought I should see. And during a time of, you remember, during a time of supernatural joy, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I was laughing at some symptoms in my body. I was just laughing at them. And they left. But this is what the Holy Ghost said. He said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So what did that mean? I wasn't doing it. I was speaking the word every day over my body. Every tissue, every cell functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. I spoke life over my body. I did that every day, every day, every day. Just like you drink water, I spoke it every day. I spoke and decreed over my body, you function well. You're strong. You're healthy. But I wasn't doing that over the seed, the finances that I sowed into the kingdom of God. I was not saying and speaking, I thank you, Lord, I planted my seed into the ground. I thank you and that it's producing and will bring forth an abundant harvest of finances in my life. He said to me, if you will do what you're doing just like you're doing it now in the area of healing, you won't have enough. You know, he said you'll have more than you know what to do with. So I was the one. Wasn't the devil stealing my stuff? I was not speaking the word. Everybody understand? Gets quiet because you know, it's all right, because I can guarantee you these are the things, whatever it is that you need in life, whatever it is you desire, you need to speak the word of God. Speak the covenant. He said he will make it to bud and bring forth. So how bad, you know, when we talk about operating in prosperity, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to walk in an overflow of abundance? How bad do you want that? I desire it so that we can bear more fruit, to receive more from God, to do more for God. That's what I desire. Hallelujah. So God is telling us that we need to prosper. And the healing, you know, when we talk about sickness and disease, how did that enter into this earth realm? It entered in disease, entered in by sin. So if the remedy, then the remedy must be found, if sin's remedy was found through the cross, then what's the remedy for sickness? It's the cross. It's the blood of Jesus. So we need to remind, what's the remedy for prospering? It's the cross. It's the blood of Jesus. And so we've been delivered. So since disease is what? It's part of the curse. Its remedy must be the cross. So it's through the cross that we were redeemed from the curse of the law. So it's the cross and the blood of Jesus that has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So sickness and disease and lack and anxiety, all of these things, we've been redeemed from the curse. We've been redeemed from the curse through the blood of Jesus. Just in a minute here, let's just quick look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. It said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was what? Wounded, or tormented, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, what? We are healed. Matthew 8:16 and 17. We turn over there in the New Testament. Because this is Matthew sharing. Let me get over there. It says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he did what? He cast out the spirits with what? His word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and did what? Bear our sicknesses. So he did that. Glory to God. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Psalm 103. It says in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy what? Thy diseases. Hallelujah. Acts 10:38, and God, and this is the New Living, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So God desires, and we know Jesus was the express or expression of the Father God. And he said, it's not me speaking, but the Father in me. He's the one that does the work. So we know that the will of God, let's go back and just finish and read this, John 10:10, in the Passion. It says, a thief has one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy, but I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. You know, that's not instant. That's a process. When he says, life in its fullness, until. So that means we need to pursue until. We need to keep pursuing until we overflow. So until is not instant, is it? So just the same way you pursue something, you know, I have family members, you know, they pursued, you know, children and so forth, they pursued saving money until they could buy a house. But they didn't just say, forget it. No, they pursued it until they got it. So there's things that we have a more sure word of prophecy that God said, he'll make it come to pass. He's faithful. He's without variableness or shadow of turning. He will do it if we do what? Believe him, and we keep pursuing it until we overflow with abundance. Hallelujah. We're not doing it just to be abundant. We're doing it because he promised us. He's a good God. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to have a strong spirit, and he wants our bodies to flourish and be whole. He died for that, so that we could. He knows that there's sin in this flesh. So he didn't leave us here helpless, did he? He didn't just leave us here to just kind of do the best you can. He gave us his word. He delivered us from the power of darkness, the authority of darkness. He gave us everything. So it's up to us to walk in it. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to walk in all the fullness of God. We're going to walk in all the goodness of God and the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How bad do you want it? How bad do you desire it? Because remember, just think about this. Let's just put a little bow on this. It's not about what I want. You know, when I say that, I backtrack because the Holy Ghost is saying, it's not about how much do you want it. It's about pleasing God. And I want it that much to please him. Because it said we're to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. So if he's promised that to me, then it says what? Without faith, it's not possible to please God. So if his will is for me to prosper and to be in abundance, then I have to do what? If I believe that, then I receive it by faith, and then I take it by faith, and I say, okay, I'm going to do that because it pleases you. It gives you pleasure to see me prosper. It gives you pleasure, Lord. So it's not about how bad do you want it. No, I want it, and I want it bad to please him. That's our motive. That should be your motive. Right? Praise God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you that your word stirs our heart. We thank you this day for the covenant of your word, the covenant of your blood. And we thank you, Father, that you desire that we have abundance, the fullness of abundance in every area of our lives. And we thank you for it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just before we receive our offering, I would just extend to those here and those maybe watching online that if you've believed that Jesus is the Christ, that he came here to die for us and to be our substitute, because he certainly didn't have any sin. But if you believe that, and you believe that he took our sins to hell and was raised from the dead, and you believe that and say that with your mouth, the scripture says you're saved. So let's say this simple prayer. If you believe that and you've never done it, or maybe you have and maybe you need to recommit your life. Let's say this. Father God, I believe that you sent your Son to this earth to die and to redeem mankind. I thank you that Jesus is the Savior. He's my Savior. And I believe that he took my sins and he took them to hell. And when sin was paid for and sickness was paid for, he was raised from the dead. Now I receive him now. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I receive him as my healer, and I confess that I am saved. I am redeemed. And I thank you, Father, for cleansing me with the blood of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you made that simple confession, let us know here. We'll give you some free information as to who you've become in Christ. And if you're watching online, just email us or call us and let us know that you accepted Christ, and we'll send you some free information. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen.